When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Rich Eisen.
He is one of the all-time
Rich Eisen.
Absolute friggin' greats.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I don't see no competition.
With guest host Ben Lyons. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Hey, Rich. Huge fan. Love your show. Listen to it every day.
Thanks, brother.
The Rich Eisen Show. And now, sitting in for Rich, here's Ben Lyons.
Hour three of the show rolls on. Appreciate you rocking out with us. Ben Lyons filling in for Rich on a Space Jam Friday. Space Jam, New Legacy, in theaters now. Don Cheadle, LeBron James. It's the Cheadle factor that has me interested, to be honest. Because you go back and you try and watch the first Space Jam from start to finish, it's a challenge to get through it. It's a big David Falk, Hanes, Nike, Michael Jordan, Gatorade commercial. So we'll see what they're able to do, directed by Malcolm Lee with the new one, but it's the Don Cheadle factor that has me excited. All week long, we've been counting down my five favorite basketball films of all time in anticipation of Space Jam, A New Legacy dropping, and coming up in about 20 minutes or so, I'll get into my number one choice. But in the meantime, I want to talk a little NFL because we've been talking so much basketball with the NBA Finals and all the drama around Team USA, but we are only about 10 days away or so from camps opening up, from training camp getting going, and for the NFL season to kick off, and we're right around the corner. So I thought it'd be a great time to bring on Madeline Burke. She covers the New York Giants, the New York football Giants. You see her on Sports Illustrated, MSG, WFAN, and of course, surfing in Hawaii, fresh off the plane. How's the vacation? Are we losing you to the islands? Are you coming back to the mainland?
Oh, I wish, Ben. But you know what? A little work-life balance never hurt anybody. It was a nice little getaway in the final weeks. As you mentioned, training camp's coming up in a little bit less than 2 weeks. And so I'm feeling refreshed and tan and ready to hit the football field.
Well, we appreciate you taking some time. I love here on the West Coast, the 10 a.m. kickoff. I don't know how I would deal with it down in Maui at 7 a.m. on Sundays.
Oh,
I'm sure I'd figure it out. Be just fine. But when you look ahead to these New York football Giants, a lot of question marks around this team, Madeline. What are your expectations for the team heading into the season? And what's going on with Saquon?
Well, Saquon, that's going to be a big storyline, right? And, you know, he spoke to the media during minicamp and OTAs and didn't give a date as to when he expects to come back. He was very vague, deliberately so, with that. I know, you know, I've talked to him, and I know that he's doing really well in his rehab and his recovery and his training and all that. And you've seen it on social media. He's posted plenty of photos, even though Eli Manning is very upset that he's photoshopped Eli's legs onto Saquon's body. If you guys have seen that back and forth, if you haven't, his cheekiness on social media is second to none. But I digress. But Saquon, you know, he's been working hard, getting back from that ACL, and he deliberately didn't give a date to be expected back because I think that that pressure is not something that's needed, right? If you say, oh, I will be back by X day, then as that day comes, the questions are getting closer, the questions are getting more and more. And there leaves a lot of room for expectation. But you know what? He's working on it. He's got a date in his mind that he's going to be ready. And I think that, you know, his goal, or I think a realistic expectation, is comeback player of the year, because, you know, last year it was really disappointing to see the way that season started. And then early on in the season, he went down. I do think that this man is determined and dedicated to get back to that peak form. And I think that the additions that this Giants team has made on the offensive side of the ball is going to help take some of that defensive focus off of Saquon and give him a little bit more room to do what he does best, which is make some big plays.
Madeline Burke joins the show, covers the New York football Giants. Ben Lyons filling in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. Rich is very high in the Washington football team. Rich was on the other day and was talking about how he would not be surprised to see the Washington football team in the Super Bowl. The NFC East was so garbage last year, Madeline, that it maybe has given fans and some of these players and these teams like a false sense of where they're at in terms of playoff aspirations or Super Bowl aspirations. But when you look at just the Giants and how they fit into the landscape of the NFC East, it's kind of a good time for them to have some uncertainty and some question marks because everybody else in the division is right there with them.
Yeah, well, and the whole division last year, Ben, as you mentioned, suffered a lot of injuries, which is why everyone was so bad last season. It was almost like nobody wanted to win the division, but nobody really could. I mean, you look at, you know, Washington, you look at the Giants losing star players, Lorenzo Carter on the defensive side of the ball, Saquon on the offensive side of the ball, as we mentioned, very early in the season were some of the headlines. You know, the Cowboys, Dak Prescott going down in week 5. So I think a lot of injuries really affected the records in the division. A lot of people coming back this season. You know, Washington, outside of the draft, didn't really make a lot of moves in the offseason. Dallas getting a lot of guys back to health, which is going to feel like they made a lot of moves when they have a fully healthy roster to start the season. But the Giants, again, you know, were very aggressive in free agency, and it was almost unprecedented for this organization how much they spent, especially when you consider coming off of a COVID restricted season. And, you know, not a lot of teams were spending considering how much finances were impacted in that 2020 season. The Giants went out, they got Kenny Golladay, they got Adoree Jackson, they got John Ross, which I think is being a lot overshadowed because of the huge acquisition that was Kenny Golladay. But John Ross being a role player in that wide receiver room, that guy is very fast. And if he can stay healthy and on the field, he could be something special for this team too. I think it's going to be, you know, that's the great thing, Ben, about this time of year is that this is anyone's division. This is anyone's season. The slate is clean. And as much as last year is fresh in the rearview mirror, this year is a whole different ballgame. And, you know, if they start the season strong, this could be something special for the Giants.
Madeline Burke joins the show. You can catch her, of course, on Sports Illustrated, MSG, WFAN, talking all things New York Giants, as well as just the New York sports scene in general. If memory serves, we connected when you were working out here in L.A., but since then you've jumped headfirst into my hometown sports scene. What's it been like to immerse yourself in New York sports coverage, sports culture, and have you noticed something sort of different about what it's like to cover sports in the Big Apple as opposed to out west?
Oh, you know, I mean, yeah, we did. We absolutely connected when I was covering the Clippers out there years ago, and that was a blast. But now being in New York, it is a very different scene, and fans live and die by their teams. The Giants fans are, you know, second to none. I love seeing what they bring to the table, the passion, whether the team is, you know, 10-6 or 6-10, or now this season it'll be, you know, 17 games.
But, that's going to throw us all off. We're going to catch so many people doing that throughout the entire season, trying to do that odd number math.
Especially with the prediction game, right? Because you're like, oh, nobody can go 8-8. You know, you can't have a 500 season anymore. You got to be above or below 500. But, you know, one of the things, too, that was really special is being in New York City when the Knicks, your Knicks, did what they did this season, which it's just so much fun. I mean, they went from having almost no expectations to being the Cinderella of the NBA season and making that first round playoff series. That was a lot of fun to watch. Madison Square Garden, I went to game 5. The energy in that building for the Knicks and the energy around the city for watching what the Knicks were doing. New York sports fans got to give a hat tip to them.
I didn't get the privilege of getting to go to a playoff game this year. Sadly, their run was too short. But I do remember taking my wife Mariah to a Knicks game about 5 or 6 years ago, a Sunday night in November against the Portland Trailblazers, where they lost by 14. But I remember walking out and her saying, if they were ever any good, that place would be nuts. And she was right. And it was great to see the Garden, you know, back in full swing. And I think that's something that's really stood out in these NBA playoffs, especially in that sport, basketball. The fan experience, you're right on the court. The energy in the building, it plays a role. It's a reason why Mikal Bridges can go for 27 in game 2 in Phoenix, and in Milwaukee he goes for 4 and then 7. So now that series has shifted back to Phoenix, I know you're keeping tabs on the NBA Finals as well. What are your thoughts on how home court plays into it, and do you think Milwaukee can get one on the road?
Yeah, well, I mean, home court especially has been huge for Milwaukee. They have not – I mean, this is only fourth time this season that Phoenix has dropped 2 in a row. And Milwaukee has been incredible at home. So this is going to be the classic, you know, adage of the playoffs or, you know, no, the series doesn't start until someone loses at home, right? I think one of the things that really comes into play is Giannis's free throws. I mean, watching how the fans are counting and kind of shaking him up at the line there. But they really, the Bucks really do play so much better at home. I don't know. I think that Saturday's game is going to be a good one. I think Phoenix is going to come back and win game five, but I wouldn't be surprised if this series goes seven.
I'm all for more basketball. Sign me up. Whatever it takes.
Right?
I'd love to see it.
I'm not ready for this season to be over.
You can follow her on Twitter, at Madeline Burks. Covers the New York football Giants as well as all sports, obviously, for Sports Illustrated, for MSG, for WFAN, all over the place, and can get up on a surfboard. It's not easy to do, especially for us mainlanders, fresh off the trip from Hawaii. But, you know, Madeline, you've covered sports at a high level across all these platforms, and we had George Sedano on earlier, and he was talking about the differences in, you know, media landscape and how he started his career back in Miami. For anybody out there listening who has aspirations of being a part of the sports media business and working in the industry, what advice might you give them, and how do you think your career might have been different, you know, had you started in an era of podcasts and TikTok and Twitch and everything that's happening now?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, there's so many opportunities now, as you mentioned. There's so many mediums for journalism, for coverage of events. And, you know, when I started, I graduated from Arizona State in 2009. And when I was in school, I was very much kind of a single tunnel vision into sports journalism. And my, you know, teachers would be like, well, you have to go to market number 156 or 128 or whatever and work your way up the chain. And for me, that didn't really feel on brand. You know, I felt like I know what I'm good at and I know what I'm not, and I know what's authentic to me and I know what's not. And, you know, one of my first job, you know, my second job out of college was I was pitching this idea of like, hey, you know what? I can shoot, I can edit, I can give you a finished product. I ended up meeting with Joe Safety, who was the VP of communications for the Clippers at the time, and said, hey, why don't I just put this all together, we could put it on your website. And at the time, I think like Mike Trudell was probably the only one who covers the Lakers who was doing team media on the website. And now you look at every team has it. But so I pitched this to the Clippers and they're like, okay, we'll try it. And then kind of built this video format for them from, you know, 2009 through 2014. And, you know, now you look across the landscape and there's so many teams that were kind of coming up with the same idea around the same time. And so what advice I would give is, you know, not every job you're going to find on a job board or on LinkedIn or by submitting your resume to someone. Sometimes you have to say, okay, what am I good at? What can I do that is missing from this landscape? Or what areas can I add to enhance the product? What can I do that can make this better? And, you know, sometimes you have to create your own opportunities and don't be afraid to ask, because a lot of people, I think all of us got to where we are with a little help from someone along the way. And I think that as much as we can never pay back the people who helped us, we can always pay it forward. So I think when people are coming out of college and asking for advice or a cup of coffee or whatever, like, I'm very open to do that. And I think most people are. So if you're trying to get into the sports media business, don't be afraid to ask somebody for help or advice, because most people are pretty open to giving it.
I learned a valuable phrase from Once a Nick, Always a Nick, Channing Frye: closed mouths don't get fed. You got to ask. Yeah. You got to say something.
Right?
You never know what somebody might respond with. Madeline Burke joins the show.
And the worst you'll get is a no.
Ben Lyons filling in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's get back to the New York Football Giants. Big season for Daniel Jones.
Yes.
Big season for the New York Football Giants quarterback. What are the expectations, and what has been your experience like watching him play quarterback for this team?
Well, year three is a big year for a quarterback, right? We all know this, and especially for Daniel Jones, who's going into his second season with this offense, with this coaching staff. And it's a little challenging when you're a rookie going into a sophomore, complete new system, complete new staff. You know, it's almost like a mulligan, but not quite. This year, one of the first things I noticed about Daniel Jones when I walked into the building for OTAs was how big he is. He is huge. He's put on a lot of muscle, and even Darius Slayton pointed out, because this man's got lines in his arms that I didn't even know were possible anymore. So he's definitely put a lot of work into bulking up and strengthening his body. And I think he also knows that there's a little bit of pressure on, all right, this is a season to show up and finally show what I've got. And building that rapport and that chemistry with his receivers, with his tight ends, with Saquon, with this team is going to be huge. And I think it's going to be valuable too. Again, as I mentioned, those weapons that the Giants have added in this offseason, because he's got so many more options. You know, Sterling Shepard, last couple of years is playing that wide receiver one role, and he's really more of a slot receiver. So if he gets back into that slot receiver role, you got Kenny Golladay, who's going to win those 50-50 battles, he's going to win those jump battles. He's a big body guy, and a lot of people have been comparing that Golladay Daniel Jones to what could be like an Eli Plaxico type connection if they do it right. Then, you know, you've got Kyle Rudolph coming in at tight end, and Kyle Rudolph and Daniel Jones, they went to that next game five together. They're doing a little off-season work together. They're, you know, building that chemistry. And I think that the fact that he's going to have more weapons downfield is also going to help that offensive line, because the offensive line last year gave up, what, 50-something sacks? And that's a lot. And it's hard, but it's also hard when you're holding the ball for a while because you're waiting for your receivers, your weapons to get open. And there's so much coverage closing in because there's so few options. So now with more real threats downfield, I think it's going to increase the speed in which Daniel Jones can get rid of the ball. So if he can make some smart decisions, trust his ability and his receivers, and get that chemistry going early, I think this offense could do something special. I mean, last year, averaging 17.5 points per game, the second worst in the NFL, not what they want to aspire to. If they can get a touchdown more per game this season and get in the 20s, I think that this team has really got some potential in that area.
Hey, if you can get a touchdown more a game, it sounds pretty easy. The next thing you know, they're right there in the mix, right, Madeline? I like the positive attitude. Coming fresh off of Hawaii. It's good vibes, good energy. I like it.
All these vitamin D sunshine posy vibes. I'm like ready to say, you know what? It's again, this time of year, you can say this because it's all possible. And then once they get on the field and show us what they really got with the pads on, then we'll know. But right now, the sky is the limit with this group.
I love it. Madeline Burke covers the New York Football Giants. Kind enough to take some time after her vacation to make our show better. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
Madeline Burke. You can follow her on Twitter, at Madeline Burke, for all things New York Football Giants. It's going to be an interesting NFC East. The hot dumpster fire that was last year. We'll see if that holds over to this season. I know Rich is very high on the Washington football team, and Adam Schefter was coming out today saying that the Eagles maybe are in the mix for Deshaun Watson. So who knows how things shake out in the NFC East. Raiders board op Art, what do you got for the NFC East?
You know, that's going to set it up pretty interesting for him to the end of this season when he goes back to the Los Angeles Raiders.
Any chance, any excuse for a Raiders shout-out, this man will take it. You got to respect it. All right, Ben Lyons in for Rich. More show rolls on next. It's the Rich Eisen Show on a Friday.
Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. Or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Saquon, you know, he's been working hard getting back from that ACL. And he deliberately didn't give a date to be expected back because I think that that pressure is not something that's needed, right? If you say, oh, I will be back by X day, then as that day comes, the questions are getting closer, the questions are getting more and more. And there leaves a lot of room for expectations.
That's Madeline Burke, who joined the show. Ben Lyons filling in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. Madeline does a great job covering the New York football giants for MSG, Sports Illustrated, WFAN, and talking about the health of Saquon Barkley. And if you were able to put a timetable on his return, that might cause more speculation or ask more questions if he gets close to that return and doesn't reach that. Or, you know, these things are fluid when you're talking about players' health. And you know, you see the story that broke today, Adam Schefter tweeting out for ESPN that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and their quarterback, TB12, didn't really reveal the fact that Tom played the entirety of last season with a torn MCL in his left knee. What? TB12 with a torn MCL? And they didn't say anything about it? Now, the reason why this says a big deal is because we live in an age of DraftKings and FanDuel and sports books, and people are putting big money on these games. If you had a rack on the Bucks, wouldn't you like to know if TB12 had a torn MCL? I mean, I guess it didn't matter because he went on to win the Super Bowl, and that's usually a story that comes out in the days following a Super Bowl. Mark my words, a week after the NBA Finals, you're going to hear about some Chris Paul injury. You don't hear about it now. You can watch him in the game and he's looking at his wrist and maybe he's not putting the ball in his left hand as often as he might. Maybe that explains the sloppy turnovers or whatever. But you're not going to hear him talk about it now. And I don't know if that's right. I don't know if a team should reveal if a player is injured or not, but they continue to play. It's not like the MCL took him out and they didn't say why he was out. You know, in hockey, they say upper body injury, lower body injury, and that's about it. That's all you get. But at least you get something. Now, if memory serves, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would often put Brady on the questionable list for the injuries that week, but that doesn't mean anything. The real question with TB12 in Tampa was just how many touchdowns this weekend? Is it going to be 3? Is it going to be 4? Hey, get used to it, Art. Art, the Raider fan, on the boards with us here at the Rich Eisen Studios. Ben Lyons filling in for Rich. Art, I know, still bitter from the Tuck rule, which was 22 years ago? Oh, my goodness. But Tom Brady, it came out, said he has a torn MCL in his leg. You saw him with the knee brace at the boat parade when he was throwing the trophy through the water. You saw him, you know, play out there in the match with Aaron Rodgers. So you can still be active. You can still go out there and do things and compete with a torn MCL. I mean, he played a whole season, but should the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, should the NFL be required to reveal that information to gamblers out there? Guys like me who are putting a little three-team parlay in the works on Sunday. Guys like Art who's saying, you know what? Do I put 100 on the Bucks this week to see if I can take my wife out to dinner? We don't know. MCL tear, it'd be nice to know about that. But at 43 years young, still out there doing it, it adds to the legend. I think the big winner is Tom Brady in all this because he just seems to be the big winner in everything in life. But last year, his Super Bowl run was incredible. Nobody thought that at age 42, 43, he'd be out there throwing for 300 yards in championship games. He'd just be Tom Brady. And he won a Super Bowl. And now it comes out he did it with a torn MCL. It just adds to the legend. So Saquon Barkley, Madeline Burke saying, not going to put a timetable on his return. Lots of question marks around Saquon. Lots of question marks around that entire division, really. And honestly, there are questions across the NFC, except with Tom Brady, even with the torn MCL. I don't care that he tore his MCL. And having to have surgery or whatever, he played all last year injured. Who cares? Tampa Bay or the field, who are you taking in the NFC? You don't know what's going on with Aaron in Green Bay. You don't know what's happening with Matthew Stafford in a new situation in Los Angeles. Lots of question marks around Jimmy G's health in San Francisco, what they're going to do. Trey Lance not ready yet. Who do you like in the NFC besides Tampa? There's nobody that I'm confident in. You're going to be confident in Kirk Cousins in Minnesota? You like that? You like? No, I'm not confident in that Minnesota Vikings team. That's got to play Aaron twice. I don't know what's going on in Green Bay. Kyler Murray still feels a year away, although I love what's happening in Arizona. You add J.J. Watt to that defense. DeAndre Hopkins, top three receiver in the game. They just play in a really tough division. So you might be high on the Cardinals, but I don't think Kyler's taking them to the Super Bowl. Who do you like in the NFC to truly challenge Tom Brady? It's incredible. You don't know who's playing quarterback in New Orleans. Cam's not in Carolina anymore. You don't know if it's going to be Jameis Winston in New Orleans. Could be, was it Peyton Hill? You don't know what you're getting out of Jameis Winston. Are you getting the 30 touchdowns or the 30 picks? You don't know. That doesn't strike fear in you if you're Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who has my buddy Shane Powers, who's the biggest fan in Los Angeles for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, said yesterday they brought back all 22. They brought back 11 on each side, and you got Devin White and Shaq Barkley, and that defense is crazy. Is it Russell Wilson and the Seahawks? Well, Russ was unhappy up there in Seattle. You know, what's going on with the weapons he's got up there? What's their running game like in Seattle? It's a bunch of owls. Who? It's a bunch of owls up there in Seattle. The Seattle Owls, Seahawks. That's what the Seattle Owls. Who? Who are you surrounding Russell with? It's the reason why he wanted to put the pressure on the organization, get out of there. So the MCL tear for Brady is just like, okay, sure. We already knew you're the greatest. We already knew that you're going to walk back to the Super Bowl this next year. You just won your fifth Super Bowl MVP. And sure, why not? You also tore your MCL along the way. Why not? Unbelievable. Ben Lyons filling in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. Something I do when I'm hosting the show, I go through, you know, social media on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook, whatever, and I just sort of grab things that catch my interest. Ja Morant tweeting out, I hate social media. If everything wasn't ran through it, I would delete all mine. Really? Ja Morant, 21 years old, going to delete social media. Liz Cambage going to walk away from the Australian national team due to mental health issues. You see young players now stressed out. Michael Phelps just did a great documentary about how too many Olympic athletes suffer depression and the stress and anxiety that's placed upon them to compete at the highest level. Well, social media adds to all that. Ja Morant, I hate social media. He's 21 years old. Speaking of social media, I saw this from Front Office Sports. TikTok is looking to continue its push in the world of sports. Aston Martin's Formula One team and TikTok have announced a deal making the app an official creator partner. So in 2021 alone, when sports are coming back after the pandemic, TikTok has announced deals with the MLS, Premier League, the NBA, UFC, UEFA, Euro 2020, and now F1. I was able to host the first show produced in partnership with Twitter Sports and a pro sports league, the NBA. Twitter Sports and the NBA launched an original studio show in 2016 called The Warm Up, that I hosted alongside Roe Parrish and Tony Rock. And it was social media's, Twitter's first foray into more elevated production.
I don't know what went into that process. I met the criteria to be selected, but I wasn't.
No, I was selected for that show. I do know what went into the process, Isaiah. I went to fly down to Atlanta and audition. And for the first time in my lifetime, I got a job with an audition. I read with Skylar Diggins-Smith, who is now playing for Team USA. The Team USA women's team kicks off tonight against Australia. 2:30, actually, on the East Coast. Oh, it's kicking off now. Look at that, tonight. You know, you hear Olympic time in Tokyo, and you don't know where teams are traveling. Oh, all right, so when the show ends, we're going to watch a little second half of Team USA. I think the women are in for a great run in Tokyo. They just lost in an exhibition against the WNBA All-Stars, so I think they're motivated. Brianna Stewart, Skylar, I mentioned. Diana Taurasi, Sue Bird, Jewel Lloyd. They got some hoopers on the women's side. Men's side, kind of a mess. Just added JaVale McGee and Keldon Johnson. Kind of a mess, Team USA. Three of their key guys, Drew Holiday, Devin Booker, Chris Middleton, still going at it in the NBA Finals for at least two more games, possibly three. They won't join Team USA for another week or so. The Olympics kick off, I believe, on the 27th, the 26th maybe. So it's going to be a quick turnaround for Book and Drew and Chris and those guys playing in the finals as they join Keldon Johnson and JaVale McGee. JaVale McGee, what a career. NBA champion. His mom played in the WNBA. Often looked at as the butt of a joke, thanks to Shaquille O'Neal. But joke's on you, Shaq. He's going to get a gold medal this year. That'd be incredible. I do get fired up for the Olympics. I know there's lots of controversy around it this year. I know with the Sha'Carri Richardson ruling, there are a lot of people who are off the Olympics right now. There's some health things going on, of course. No spectators. It's always been my dream to cover an Olympics, to go to an Olympics. That dream will have to wait. But hopefully we can move past all this. We can get the athletes across to Japan healthy, safe, and watch them compete at the highest level. You got skateboarding in there this year, 3-on-3 basketball, baseball. So I love the Olympics. Gives us some great, great sporting events throughout the summer. And Team USA on the women's side kicks things off in about 10 minutes or so in an exhibition game against Australia. Now, the other big story, of course, in basketball today is not the NBA Finals. It's Space Jam, A New Legacy, hitting theaters today. And all week long, I've been counting down my five favorite basketball films of all time. It's Ben Lyons filling in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. We are sending Rich lots of maize and blue good energy today. My five favorite basketball films of all time. At number five, it was Love and Basketball with Omar Epps and Sanaa Lathan, the story of two USC basketball players who fall in love with each other and the game. It's a beautiful film. Still holds up. At number four on the list was Above the Rim, starring Dwayne Martin, the late Tupac Shakur, Leon, the late Bernie Mac as Flip, New York City street basketball in the 90s at Rucker Park, Olaf Shorts. You're a real hooper if you get the Olaf's reference. At number three on the list, White Man Can Jump. We had one of the stars of the film, Marcus Johnson, who's been everywhere during these NBA finals. And as well, he should be a five-time All-Star with the Milwaukee Bucks. Calls the games now on TV for the Bucks. Been an analyst there in Milwaukee for some time. His son, Josiah, the king of NBA Twitter. Marcus Johnson should be having a moment. I love seeing the photo of him at the game the other night with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Oscar Robertson and Dave Chappelle and Chris Tucker and just love that kind of energy around the NBA Finals. But White Man Can't Jump, number four on the list. Foods with the letter Q. What is a quiche? What is a quince? Rosie Perez, an all-time performance. Number two on the list, the only documentary on the list, Hoop Dreams. Groundbreaking at the time. A Sundance movie, won Best Documentary at the Oscars. To follow these two young men, William Gates and Arthur Agee, during their high school years in Chicago and as they pursue basketball dreams, pursue a life in the NBA. It's a beautiful film, slice of life. The directors put everything they had into it. They maxed out their credit cards. They went into debt. Read a story with Stephen James where he's talking about being at Sundance, playing his film that he put so much into, knowing that he had no money in the bank. But yet, here he was about to go on this ride with Hoop Dreams that would take him all the way to the Academy Awards. An incredible film. And now it's time for number one on my list. My favorite basketball film of all time. Here's a scene. Wonder if you can pick what it is.
Basketball is like poetry in motion. Just coming down the court, you got a defender in your way. You take him to the left, you take him back to the right, and he's falling back, and you just Jay right in his face, and then you look at him, and then you say, what? Basketball is the birthplace of all of my dreams. Everything that I want to be, everything that I will accomplish, what it is I want to do in life.
I feel handsome when I'm on the court. You know, I feel like I'm somebody.
That's a scene out of Hoop Dreams. Jesus Shuttlesworth, played by Ray Allen. The film, of course, directed by Spike Lee. You heard Walter McCarty there, as well as Hill Harper. Travis Best and John Wallace rounds it out. The Lincoln Rail Splitters. Lincoln High School, of course, in Coney Island, where Stephon Marbury and where Sebastian Telfair played at a high level, won city championships at the Garden. And Ray Allen's character, really the culmination and a combination of so many of these guys over the years. Don't forget, Kobe Bryant had just gone to the NBA out of high school. Denzel Washington playing his father. That film's incredible and is number one on my list of favorite basketball movies of all time. But Art's got a challenge flag on the field, wants to throw another one in the mix. What do you got, Art?
I want to, like, an honorable mention.
What do you got, buddy?
So to say, Blue Chips. How about Blue Chips?
Neon Badeau.
Nick Nolte. Shaquille
Tony Fail
O'Neal.
TV. Anthony Hardaway.
And Penny Hardaway, yeah.
You got Alfre Woodard, I believe, pops up as Penny's mom in that movie.
Mary McDonnell.
Ed O'Neill. That's right. You know, there's rumblings for a long time of a Blue Chip sequel and how you could, you know, factor in name, image, and likeness in today's NCAA climate. Point shaving, the sneaker companies giving shoeboxes of money for guys to go to different schools. The corruption around college sports is as topical as it's ever been. So a film like Blue Chips deserves a sequel or a reboot or a TV spinoff. I would love to see that.
I would love to see that too.
I just remember when I struggled with the SATs, I would quote Shaquille O'Neal's character, Neon Badeau, to my parents and say, Mom, the SATs are culturally biased. And she'd be like, Ben, you sound so stupid because they're culturally biased in favor of you and you still had a bad score. So what's the matter with you? I love Blue Chips. Definitely up there. Nick Nolte's great in that. But He Got Game, Denzel Washington, and Jim Brown plays one of the police officers who's keeping tabs on him as he has a week out of jail to try to get his son to go and play for the warden of the prison's school that he went to. I think it's like State University. It's a fictitious school. But there is a recruiting trip with Rick Fox that deserves to be in the Louvre. I mean, that thing is one of my favorite scenes in all of the sports movies. Mila Jovovich as well. Spike Lee just packs his love of basketball into this father and son story about redemption and about having your past define your future. Hope. Lala Bonilla is perfectly cast. Rosario Dawson in a star-turning performance. I love He Got Game. My number one this week as we count down my five favorite basketball films of all time. We're going to wrap up the show, wrap up a fun week filling in for Rich here on The Rich Eisen Show. It's Ben Lyons here for Rich. Don't go anywhere. The Rich Eisen Show wraps up on a Friday.
It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Number 7, Carmelo
Oh, welcome back to the show. Thanks, Art, for that one. I appreciate it. Ben Lyons filling in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. I had high hopes for Olympic Melo's return. I really thought he had a shot to come back with Team USA when they announced that Bradley Beal and Kevin Love were no longer going to be a part of the team. But Team USA going in a different direction, going with JaVale McGee and Keldon Johnson. Very curious how this shakes out for the boys in red, white, and blue as they head over to Tokyo.
I don't know what went into that process. I met the criteria to be selected, but I wasn't.
Got to give a big special shout out to Art, who was on the boards all week making the show sound great. I appreciate you so much. Thank you for letting me hang and drive the ship this week, making me sound good. What's so great about the Rich Eisen Show is they've got some great people behind the scenes who work to bring this show to life. I get an email with this date in history every day. And can you believe in 1993, Free Willy hit theaters? That song with Michael Jackson was huge. The movie was enormous. They had sequels. Free Willy in 1993 was a big one that came out on July 16th. Catcher in the Rye was published on this date in 1951. One of those books, you know, about Holden Caulfield, you go back and you read it at different times in your life and it has different meanings. J.D. Salinger lived a really reclusive life in the years after, you know, Catcher became such a phenomenon. It's a staple in everybody's high school, you know, curriculum, but I think it's important with the great novels to go back and read them and rediscover new things about them and yourself as you read them a second, third, and fourth time. That's a great book to read if you're traveling as well. If you're outside of your comfort zone, if you're in a foreign country or a different place, then why don't you pick up a copy of Catcher in the Rye? On this date in 1941, Joe DiMaggio extended his hitting streak to 56 games. That is a record that I believe will never be broken. Joe DiMaggio, one of the all-time greats, my father's favorite player, alongside Carl Yastrzemski. My dad had a great relationship with Joe DiMaggio. Joe DiMaggio actually came to my dad's bar mitzvah. That's another story for another time. But DiMaggio extends his hitting streak to 56 games on this date in history.
Who was second?
Second hitting streak of all time? It's Pete Rose in the National League, right? 44?
There you go.
Hey, it's almost like the kid knows something about sports and does it for a living. Hey, Carly Lloyd. Team USA Soccer, they're going to be heading over to Japan. Carly Lloyd turns 39, and Corey Feldman is 50. I introduced Corey Feldman once on stage at Comic-Con for a special showing of The Goonies. He brought Sean Astin with him, and we went on stage to introduce the film. Corey was wearing a leather jacket given to him by Michael Jackson, and we went on stage in San Diego to introduce a special screening of Goonies at Comic-Con with Sean Astin and Corey Feldman. And for some reason, I still don't know why to this day, Sean Astin and Corey Feldman thought it would be a great idea to bring onto the stage the voices of the new Ninja Turtles animated series. Okay. Man, when you're a host, they just throw stuff at you. I've been live in the weirdest situations, the strangest places, and I'm live on stage at Comic-Con about to introduce a special screening of Goonies, and Sean Astin and Corey Feldman decide to bring on the cast of the new animated Nickelodeon Ninja Turtles show. All right, we got through it. We figured it out. I wonder if these Portland Trailblazers, though, are going to figure out what to do with Damian Lillard. Ben Lyons in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show, and that was the story that caught my attention this morning, is that Dame wants out of Portland. And Sedano was on with us earlier, and I thank George and I thank Madeline Burke for calling in, and Steve Novak, once a Nick, always a Nick. Riley Welch from the University of Kentucky men's basketball program. We had a big show today. And Sedano said that Lillard's going to have to come out and say, I want out. And he's absolutely right. And I don't know if he's going to come out publicly and say it, but he's got to do it with Neil O'Shea. He's got to do it behind the scenes in Portland. He's been there for a number of years now. He just turned 31. Don't forget, Dame wasn't a one and done in college. Dame didn't come out at 19. Dame didn't have 2 years under his belt like RJ Barrett before turning 21. Dame was 4 years at Wichita State. And I believe he was 4 years at Wichita State, or if not, then at least three. He's a little older. He's 31 and is looking to compete at a high level. And if Portland doesn't have the ability to go and get a free agent, to go and make a move, Do they package C.J. McCollum to go and try and get somebody that makes sense to play alongside Dame? I don't know. But if Dame wants out, he's going to be the one who's going to have to ask to be out. And that's hard sometimes. You know he's loyal. Loyalty's been a big part of the Dame narrative. Not teaming up, not doing the super team thing. If he's able to orchestrate a trade to a contender, will he still hold the hearts of basketball fans? Or will he wear the crown as the most hated in the NBA? When you stack the deck in your favor, then you put a bullseye on your back. I don't think that fits with the Dame Lillard brand. He's part of the Goon Squad coming out today in Space Jam, A New Legacy. He's got a song on the soundtrack, Dame Dalla, big signature shoe with Adidas. He's a superstar. He's in national commercials playing for a small market team. Every NBA fan loves Damian Lillard. You don't sit here when the Blazers get eliminated and put the blame on him the way you do with Paul George or with LeBron James or, you know, with any of these guys who come up short. With Dame, you realize that he hasn't really had a great cast of characters around him. So do they make a move? Do they pick up the phone and call Pat Riley and say, we want Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, a bunch of picks, and throw in Precious Akune? I don't know what Miami puts together for Damian Lillard, but Dame running with Jimmy in Miami? Woo, Heat culture. Get the white linen out. A fourth ring for DJ Irie. Is Philadelphia an option? If Portland wants a guaranteed superstar back, is Ben Simmons that guaranteed superstar? Then you got Damian Lillard, Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris, Danny Green. You got some shooters. I mean, that's a squad right there in Philly. They'll run it back and make a deep run in the playoffs. Or does he go off the board somewhere like New Orleans? He gets to play alongside Zion, new coach and Willie Green. Going to win a ring possibly with Monty Williams in Phoenix. And then the Blazers get back a proven all-star in Brandon Ingram. You get some picks. You get hope. And you get to start a new chapter for your organization. I am so curious to see how this Damian Lillard thing shakes out. August 1st is July 1st. And, of course, Art is in my ear saying, what about the Lakers? The rich get richer. It's so Lakers. I don't even want to indulge Laker fans with the idea of getting Damian Lillard. Because you're going to have to give up Anthony Davis if you want to do it. And guess what? Anthony Davis isn't enough for Damian Lillard straight up. The Lakers are going to have to throw in more if they want Damian Lillard. Can you believe that? That's how good Damian Lillard is. If I'm the Portland Trailblazers and I get a call from Rob Pelinka, hey, I'll give you Anthony Davis for Damian Lillard straight up. I say, no, pass. What else you got? You want to throw in some picks? Oh, you don't have those. You traded those when you went and got Anthony Davis. Woo! August 1st is coming. We've got a lot of player mobility in the works in front of us, and we've got some more great basketball. Game 5, the NBA Finals, Saturday night. We'll break it all down on Monday. I'm back on the Rich Eisen Show with the whole crew next week on Peacock. Brockman, Del Tufo, TJ, everybody's going to be there. And we hope you're there as well. We appreciate you spending your week with us. Thank you so much to Art on the boards. A lot of Raider talk, man. We snuck it in there for you. And, of course, a big shout-out to the big guy himself, Rich Eisen. Sending you good energy, lots of love. You're going to beat this thing and bounce back. We can't wait to have you back on the radio. Appreciate the opportunity here. Going to hold down the fort while you're gone. Enjoy the NBA Finals. Enjoy the Olympic tune-up. Enjoy Major League Baseball's return. Hope you get out on the golf course. Thanks for listening. I'm Ben Lyons. I'll be back next week right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Have a great weekend, everybody.